The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities.
I'm back. I know I've been off for a while. I apologize. I've been very, very busy this year in 2024, but it's so important for me to be back doing the 2025 Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win podcast. So I'm cheating just a little bit, as I'm going to take excerpts from the radio show, Your Money with David Hayes, that I think are applicable to this podcast. And we're going to plug it in for, 10 minute podcasts. So you can listen to them at your leisure. You don't have to spend all day, 2-3 hours listening to a podcast. You can get a little tidbit and nugget of information and move on with throughout your day. So 2025, the final drive, of course, is that metaphor on my football playing and coaching days. Time is ticking. Time is running out. Yes, the time to go is now. The 2017 tax cuts are set to expire at the end of next year, giving us a real opportunity to act now and save ourselves from taxes destroying our retirement accounts before they go up for good. With trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, with trillions of dollars in deferred retirement accounts, that's the low-hanging fruit, obviously. That's it. We have to get out of the way of this. We are in the fourth quarter with time ticking, so act now. And let me tell you how to win. On my July 11th episode, I did a segment on bond vigilantes. Basically, it's when is enough enough? Everyone asks me, when is the rooster coming to roost? When are people going to quit buying our debt, right? With 35, 36 trillion in debt, easily moving towards 50. It's the first time in history that we have spent more money, or will spend more money on the interest on our debt than we do on defense spending. That is a recipe for disaster. So enjoy that segment, and we'll talk to you soon. Hey, I did see this piece, which I thought was pretty interesting. Greece starts a six-day working week for some industries. Greece has introduced a six-day work week for certain industries in a bid to boost economic growth. New legislation, which came into effect at the start of July, allows employees to work up to 48 hours a week as opposed to 40. It only applies to businesses which operate on a 24-hour basis. I didn't realize that they didn't allow people to work past 40 hours. I don't know enough, so don't hold me to anything I'm telling you here. I'm just reading an article that came from the BBC, which probably knows a lot more than I do about Greek government. And the move by the Greek government is at odds with workplace culture elsewhere in Europe and the U.S., where a four-day working pattern has become more common. Well, that's interesting. I tried that this summer. I thought, you know what I'm going to do? Because my office runs really, really well when I'm not there. And it runs good when I'm there, but it runs really, really well when I'm not there. I just get out of their way. You got Rod on the investment team and Angela and the group on the service team, and it's fine. It works like great. So I don't have to be there all the time, but I am. But this summer I thought, you know what? I'm gonna mark every Friday out, and I'm just going to either try to play some golf, go fishing, try to spend more time with friends, family, clients, whatever. And we are already past 4th of July, and I have not done any of that. So I am gonna, and I only did it for June. And I didn't do it at all, so it's too late for me to do it for July. So anyway, for me, I don't know what a four-day work week would even look like. I'm just not, again, wired that way. But it was kind of interesting when the Greece is trying to get more productivity out of people. That's the key, it says here. So just kind of looking here at this pretty interesting little article. If you want a copy of it, I can get it to you. All right, so reparation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that basically was the way that we kind of got out of our major debt problem right after the war, World War II, and I did a piece on that already, but I'll briefly explain it to you again. We borrowed from the private insurance companies, gave them some favor,
inflated the rest of our debt away and got back to a reasonable debt to GDP ratio. That what happened. It's called repatriation. You can look it up. Yeah, pretty fascinating. Don't think it would work in today's world at $35 trillion in debt, moving towards 50 faster than a locomotive. That's scary, right? And the good news is it's getting talked about a little bit. But here's the thing. Sometimes the government doesn't do anything until there's a crisis, right? That's why it's like, when are they going to fix Social Security? Well, when it's a crisis. And it's not yet a crisis, but it's getting closer and closer to being a crisis. It happened back in the early 80s with Reagan. It happened again a little bit in the 90s under Clinton. And it's probably going to have to happen under the next administration, whoever that may be. So whether it's President Biden or former President Trump or someone else, right, we don't really know, occupying the White House in 2025, may have to worry about bond vigilantes. Bond vigilantes are traders that will use or threaten to use the bond market to protest the government spending or its inaction on the deficit. They can sell their bonds, forcing interest rates to rise and making it more expensive for the bond issuer to borrow. So with the U.S. deficit on the rise, whoever wins in November may have to worry about investors attempting to force the government to do something about it. Now, remember this happened with some stocks, right? Where they, was it, I read it or something, I don't even remember, came in and started like buying them. It was crazy. And, you know, people, they can do this. They can do it. Wells Fargo Investment Institute of Global Fixed Income explains that given the amount of outstanding debt, and this is total debt, this isn't just U.S. debt, the amount of the deficit that's projected, it can pretty much tell you that there's going to be some sort of reaction from bonds. And I've been saying this for a while, that the U.S. debt, when we have an auction of 20 and 30 year bonds, isn't going that great, right? But they'll sell the tar out of 2 year bonds, but you know, 20 year, a lot of the big banks are having to take some of it back. So I may already be happy. I don't know. So Since I brought up the deficit, I want to talk about the debate a couple nights ago. Both candidates were asked about the deficit, and there wasn't a lot of clarity about the extent to which they're going to address it in terms of actionable policies moving forward. I mean, I think about it this way. Most of our money that comes in is spent on four things: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the debt. Very little is discretionary spending, so hopefully there's a lot of people a lot smarter than I am to figure this thing out. So I'm always curious from your perspective, and you, if you look at it, I mean, you know that the fixed income space in particular, I think there could be a likelihood of some bond vigilantes to force the government's hand to do something about it, to force people to deal with the deficit, and this would be after November sometime. I would say there is, I would say at this point in time, the amount of outstanding debt, the amount of the deficits, and the projected deficits that we've got recent projections from the CBO, which we never listen to, by the way, but they always come out and tell us, pretty much tell you it's going to be some kind of reaction from bonds. Like I said, looking at the, just a very simple equation, you're like, someone's going to force the hand of them to do something. So don't be surprised if a year from now, 6 months from now, we start seeing the bond vigilantes come out. And what does that mean for you? Well, if it drives up interest rates, it slows everything down, right? Everything. Your bond values go down. Your stock values go down. It becomes like a train wreck. But if that's what it takes to get the government to pay attention, and I thought that the moderators of the debate, although it's commonly known now that, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to go down that path, but that I thought they were pretty fair, and I thought they did a pretty darn good job. And I can't always say that with most of the moderators that I've seen over the years. Whether they're on CNN or Fox, it doesn't really seem to make any difference. But I was glad they asked the question, right? But the answers were pretty bleh, like, well, you know, I just don't think anybody wants to deal with it because it's bad. And if you start to deal with it, it's going to be nasty and ugly, and people are going to hate you. But then guess what? The generations behind you will look back in history and say, man, that was one tough sucker, and he did it, and he took it on the chin for it, politically, personally, whatever, but look what kind of shape we're in today. I don't know how to fix the problem. I just know that we have one thing that we can control, and I am broken record, and I know I'm a Rothaholic, but it's this. I can control when I'm going to pay the tax on my IRA 401k, and I'm choosing now. And next year. and then we'll see where we go from there. So anyway, I was doing a little bit more research on this idea. So people are like, okay, again, the IRS will tell us how much of it is theirs, when we have to take it out, and all that, right? That's the minimum distribution. So whether it's 73 for you or 75 if you're born after 1960, remember I did a whole piece on why age 75 on my podcast, but I just feel more and more confident that this could happen. That right now we all use a table called the uniform table, and it assumes you have a spouse 10 years younger. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. So they take your balance at age 73 and divide it by 26.5. So they certainly don't think we're going to live 26.5 years, but if you have a spouse 10 years younger, you do. But with this, a stroke of a pen, they could say, you know what, we're going to flip it from the uniform to the single life. And if they do single life at age 73, they divide your balance by 16.4, not 27 or whatever. And what does that mean? It means a lot more money has to be spit out. And then by the time you're 80, they divide it by 11. That's like over, like that's a lot of money that they're going to push out. So my prediction is that will happen, because when they look at this mess and they say, listen, we may have $50 to $80 trillion in tax-deferred retirement accounts by the time the peak of the baby boomers hit age 75, and at that point, they have to start taking money out of the retirement accounts, and now it's 40% more than what they had anticipated. And many people don't even know what it's going to be. Like, most people are like, oh, what age do I have to take it? 70 and a half. No, 73 now. Oh, I'm born in 60. No, I'm 75. Oh, okay. And then when it gets time to take it, they'll say, how much is it? Oh, it's $10,000. Well, that stinks. They would say if it's $5,000 or $50,000, they don't even know. So get ahead of this quickly. If you're moving towards that magical age of RMD age and start pushing some of this income forward, getting those IRAs smaller, because I think, and again, this isn't a show of conspiracy theories. This is just a show that I'm doing today on math and reality and practicality, that they could easily switch the table that you use to calculate your required minimum distributions from the uniform to the single, and all of a sudden, by the time you're 90 years old, they divide it by 5.7. And that's a lot of money that's being spit out to them. Now, guess what? A Roth IRA, is it subject to required distributions? No. Do your inherited people that get it have to pay or take RMDs? No. Does it all grow tax-free? Yes. Can they leave it in there for another 10 years? Yes. So there's so many check the boxes on the Roth side, it's ridiculous. So here's the thing. I know I'm preaching to the choir, because all of you that listen to this program, you're drinking from the same Kool-Aid bottle that I'm drinking from. I know, because you wouldn't be listening if you didn't. You'd turn it off and move on to someone else who is talking nonsense. But this is reality. It's math. And I'm just telling you, it can happen. Anything can happen. Look how they switched Social Security rules on us. That was just like, bang. Oh, you can't do this anymore. You can't do that anymore. That just happened like that. I mean, we had 3 months to adjust to old claiming strategies to the new very few claiming strategies. So it can happen. It can happen quick, and you won't even know it happened. Hope you enjoyed that segment of 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Next week's podcast, we will be talking about, the elections coming up. Of course, we've had both conventions now behind us. And I'll tell you, they're not talking a lot about Social Security deficits and debt and how we're going to deal with all this. So in the July 18th segment or show, we will be talking about that and more. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.